We're continuing in a series that we're calling Better Together. The idea that we are together the body of Christ, and God has great things for us to be and to accomplish together, even beyond what He wants to do in and through us individually. We started the series by declaring that as a congregation, as Community Covenant Church, we will be a community of big faith. Leaving the safety and security of playing it safe and being willing to step out where God is calling us, where God's nudging us, that's a little bit scary, it's unknown, we have to rely on God, but that's the point of our faith, to really step out and follow where God's leading us when we have to really depend on Him. And that's individually, but also corporately as a congregation. Where is God calling us as a church, as a body of Christ, to live out our faith in a big way? And we're discovering that together. Next, we talked about being a community of spiritual contributors. Last week, we had our ministry fair, an opportunity for many people to sign up interest and exploring how they can, how each of us can use the way that God has gifted us, He shaped us to serve, and finding ways to be involved and not simply be consumers coming and sitting back and saying, okay, feed me, give me, but instead saying, what are you calling me to do? God, you've equipped me for a purpose to serve. So how am I finding a place to serve? And also as a body of Christ, not just how are we as individuals serving within our own fellowship, but how can we as a congregation reach out and serve and be spiritual contributors to our community and to the world? And today we're going to continue in this series as we talk about being a community of generous living. When Tammy and I were first married, we were DINKS, which stands for double income, no kids. And Tammy was working full-time as a kindergarten teacher. I was working full-time as a youth pastor. We had all this income, and we didn't have, you know, a whole lot of expenses. And so we did what we wanted to. And we were, by no means were we extravagant with our money, and there were many things we probably should have invested and done with our money that we didn't. But if we wanted to fly across the country to visit our family and, you know, and during vacation, a couple times a year, we didn't think twice about it. We had lots of resources. And then Joey was born. And then Tammy stopped working. And then Ellie was born. And then we moved and had a house we couldn't sell. And then we had renters who decided they weren't going to pay, and we had to go through the eviction process. And then we tried to sell our house, and it was underwater. And then we lived with my income, and Tammy worked part-time. And then we eventually sold that, but we had no savings anymore. And then we moved, and we're doing okay. And then my job was cut to half-time. Anyway, I had all this kind of stuff, circumstances, over about 20 years' time, where we went from that place of, boy, we don't even have to think about money, to, oh, guess what? We don't have a whole lot of money. My mindset became one of scarcity, where I was always thinking about, do I have enough money to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to do this? We can't go and do that vacation that we wish we could. How's it going to go? Oh, now we got a kid in college. Oh, now, you know, how does this work? The thing is, a scarcity mindset doesn't actually depend on how much money you have in the bank. You could have plenty of money and live with this scarcity mindset. Think about it this way. Imagine, okay, an apple pie. Okay, we've got this apple pie, and somebody, you cut this big old slice, you know, a fifth of the pie you've served up. Somebody with a scarcity mindset is going, oh my goodness, look at that giant piece that was taken out of the pie. We've only got this much left. How are we going to have enough for everybody else or for my, there's a limited amount of pie here. What am I going to do? A generosity mindset, an abundance mindset says, Yeah, you had a big piece of, but you know what? There are more apples. There's more ingredients. We can make another pie. Enjoy the pie. We can always make more. A scarcity mindset, really when it comes down to it, is saying, I am in charge and I am the one who is responsible for what I have and what I get. I have to be concerned with the resources because it's all on me. An abundance mindset says, it's not all on me. I serve a loving and generous God who promises he's going to give me what I need. I can live with this attitude that I don't have to grab every penny. I don't have to worry about all that because God is caring for me. Matthew 6, Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he famously says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And this summer, when we were working our way through Philippians, we read Paul's words in chapter 4, where he said, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And in Acts, we're reminded about what Jesus himself said. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So, choosing to live generously requires us to believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And to know with confidence that we serve a generous God. When we do, then we can start to live generously in all areas of our life. And the most obvious way that that's shown is what we do with our money, with our treasure. Although I have struggled with circumstances that have kind of put me into that scarcity mindset more often than not, I made a choice. Tammy and I have made a choice to continue to give. To continue, you know, to give through tithing, through, you know, we have sponsored children through these different organizations. We've given money to different causes and things like that. And it's not always easy. There have been times where it's been a little bit scary and a situation where we've struggled. But the truth of the matter is, looking back, God has always provided for us. We've never been without enough food or clothing. And even when we didn't have our own home, God provided a place where we could stay with my sister's family for a period of time. God provided. And remembering that helps to move from that scarcity mindset to say, you know what, God is a God of abundance, and he will provide just like he has in the past. I can trust him, and I cannot hold on tightly to what I have. I can continue to trust him and to be generous. And that's really what a generous living idea is based on, and that is about God's generous provision. In Proverbs 11:25, it says, the generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And when we don't hold tight to our treasure, our money, it actually helps us to grow spiritually. It gets our attitude maybe realigned a little bit. You know, for those of you who may kind of look at yourself and say, you know what, I'm pretty new in my faith, in my whole life of following Jesus. As you start to take this attitude of generosity and trusting God in giving to him, and not just saying, well, okay, just kind of give a little bit. As you start to do that, you are going to grow in your faith. There's no doubt about it. You will learn that your dependence is on God and not on what you've got. And for those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, our maturity is limited if we're not giving. Because, again, it is showing where our priorities are and where our trust ultimately is. If our trust is just in our resources, my taking care of myself, and that I got to make sure that I've got things all worked out for myself, and, well, I can spare a little bit, that's going to be reflective of how much your faith is mature in Christ. Where, on the other hand, if you say, okay, there's something about being wise with my money, but ultimately God provides, and He will provide. He's a generous God. I'm going to trust Him, and as I trust Him, I can give, realizing that it's not just up to me, it's God's promises that He's there for me. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. And God wants your heart. God wants to be the center of your life and that place of security to be in Him, not in ourselves and in our stuff. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to this church and encouraging them to use some of their resources, even in what they don't have. They're not super rich, but he said, you can give your resources to help those who are in need. And he says in chapter 9, for your generosity to these other people in need will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. Now, some people get really caught up in how much they're supposed to give, and they get into the Old Testament definitions of tithing, 10%. And really, if you get into all of the Old Testament law, it's actually more than 10%. It's like 20-some percent in different categories and things like that. But, you know, they go, okay, well, 10% is kind of the thumb to, you know, measurement to go by. But then it's like, okay, so it's before taxes, after taxes. And you start to get into all the weeds, and it's like, you're missing the point. The point is, what is your attitude? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about giving here, and he says, if you are really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. It's about our motivation. Demonstrating our trust in God and that He is number one, and that because of that, I can give. Not I can give X amount, but I can give. You know, think about Jesus' example, as He pointed out when they were in the temple, and the rich guys who are, you know, making a big noise and to-do as they give massive amounts of money. And then this poor widow who just throws in a couple pennies equivalent. And Jesus says, you know what? That was like everything she had. She gave way more because it was her attitude of what she was giving. Our motivation. We should also consider about how we're living generously aside from what we may put into the offering at church. Are you a generous tipper? You know, I've talked to friends of mine who work in the food industry, and the general rule of thumb is that they dread the church crowd after church going into restaurants because they're going to be demanding and they're going to be just incredibly stingy. Is that really the reputation Christians should have? I decided years ago that, you know, instead of trying to figure out 15%, I'm just going to give 20%. First of all, the math is easier. But second of all, it's making a statement, you know? It's making a statement in how you treat people. And your generosity, God can use that in powerful ways. I have a friend who told me that he felt God a number of years ago just say, round up. And so that has been his theme in giving. He rounds up. If it's like, you know, okay, well, I'm going to figure out the blah, blah, blah. Okay, round it up to the next dollar. Round it up to the next whatever. And he does that in life. And he told me that it actually made an impact because he's a pastor, and this waitress, and he ended up rounding up, and it was like, you know, really generous as it was because just what he had. And he goes, yeah, just keep it. He didn't realize it, but she knew who he was, and she didn't like him. And because of that, it changed her attitude and said, well, maybe there's something there. She eventually ended up, you know, coming to faith because of his generosity, rounding up. You know, who knows what God may do through our choice. But he also said, you know, he's encouraged other people in his church. That was the theme that he kind of put out there to his congregation. I don't know if any of you want to do this, but he said he wanted to encourage that in terms of this generous living, irrationally generous in how they live. And, you know, round up, you know, okay, I'm figuring out what's my tithe. That's, you know, 200. Round up. It's the attitude that trusts God in all areas of life. Who knows how God may want to use that in our life, in our attitude, but it also could be used to make a difference in other people's lives. And you know, it's not just simply about us as individuals living generously. I want our congregation to be a community that is living generously. I'm really proud to say and happy to say that our church is generous in what we do budget-wise. Over 20% of our budget goes to others, not to ourselves. It goes towards missions, and it goes towards people who are doing things through our denomination, through our conference, the Pacific Northwest Conference, and Covenant World Missions and stuff. They're planting churches. They're encouraging and equipping and building up existing churches. They're reaching out through world missions. We support specific missionaries. You know, we've got Letha and John Curl, who are overseeing covenant missions in Europe. And so obviously John is really involved now in the impact. By the way, I got the report that there are covenant missionaries in Paris. They're safe. But think about the ministry that they're doing. My parents served a international church in Switzerland. And through that time when they were there, they got to know a lot of these people who are serving, and they're good friends with the people who are in the American church in Paris. And obviously, there's a huge ministry and weight of what they're doing now in ministry. But we also support, you know, Nick and Haley Brandenburg and their boys that you may know well, who are over in Tacoma at the University of Washington campus there through InterVarsity. And then we also support Jaber and Christy Muhammad and their kids who are ministering to international students right now over in Illinois. And there are other missionaries, too, that we support as well in missions. And then, you know, we also support the Cove locally and other missionaries and ministries through our crisis fund. You know, we've distributed over $11,000 this last year. Do you realize that? And that is to people who have specific needs locally, some people in our congregation, but other people outside of our congregation. Generous living, sharing God's love in practical ways so that they can have their needs met. And, you know, that's not to mention about the extension mission idea outward focused through our existing ministries, through, you know, the Women's Soup Supper. You know, that was an outreach in a way, too. Children's ministry, you know, when we did Trunk or Treat for the community and the youth ministry. All of these things that we do have an element of thinking of others, which is how it's supposed to be. We need to be a community of generous living and not just like, okay, are we taking care of ourselves? Are we comfortable? Oh, let's, you know, make ourselves more comfortable and do something for ourselves. No, we have to think outward. And, you know, really, it's not just about our treasure that God is calling us to live generously, but it's about generosity with our time and our talents as well. Most of us enter into a day with a long list of to-do things, and whether it's personal or whether it's for our work, it's like, I got to get this done and that thing. And then somebody or something comes along and interrupts our stuff. And we get irritated and we go, come on, I got things to do. And you're going to mess up my whole schedule and whether I'm going to accomplish what I need to do and what I've decided is important. Guess what? That may be God, and it probably is, God bringing this person or this situation into your day for a purpose. So that you can be generous with your time, with your talents, with maybe with your resources. You have an opportunity to serve. And if you take that attitude and say, I am living generously with my day. I'm coming into this day and I say, okay, yeah, I've got my list of things that I need to do. But God, are you bringing people? Are you bringing a circumstance that's going to maybe interrupt me? That's you bringing it. I'm ready to be generous with my time. I know you're going to help me get done what I need to do that has to be done. But if I'm serving you, that's the priority. And then I come to trust. You're going to provide. You're going to give me, make things work out easier than I expected. I'll get done what I need to do as I'm serving you first by serving other people. Because that's really what Jesus said, you know. He said, first of all, in Matthew 10, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. And then in his parable talking about judgment of separating the sheep from the goats at the end of the time, he says, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into my home, into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. As we serve, as we generously live, in accepting and embracing those interruptions, not with bitterness or irritation, but instead with a, wow, God, look, you gave me an opportunity here. You brought this into my day today. You brought this person so that I could love them. By doing that, I'm loving you. And it's not only about serving God through serving others, it's also realizing that when we are living generously, we are pointing towards a generous God. We're living out the truth of the gospel when we live generously. Because we have received forgiveness. We've received new life from Jesus. God emptied himself and became a human being and lived a life and then suffered and died in our place. Talk about generosity. That's the gospel, is generosity of a God who loves us and is generous with us. And when we live it out, we are declaring the truth of the gospel. You know, in Matthew 5, Jesus said, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hill. That can't be hidden. No one lights a light and puts it under a basket. Instead, they put it up on a stand. So it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. They'll see our generous living and they will praise God. They'll make that connection. When we live generously, then we are declaring the truth of the gospel, and we should stand out. I mean, come on. If we have received new life in Christ and forgiveness, and we are a new creation because of Jesus in our life, we better be different in how we are living from everybody else who isn't following Jesus. Because we have Christ within us, we should shine. We should stand out. We should be generously living. You know, Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan was a perfect example of this interruption in the guy's day. He was on his way to Jericho, and he stopped. He said, hey, there's this guy in need. God's given me this opportunity to do something. He gave of his time, of his treasure, of his talent. He put the guy up. He took him on his, you know, interrupted his day. And in contrast, the religious people just kind of said, I got things to do. Got my agenda, God's agenda, no time for you. Come on. We need to embrace generous living. So if we're going to be a community of generous living, our attitude is the key. Again, we have to have this abundance mindset. God is an abundant God who generously gives to us. So I need to have this attitude where I can be generous with what I have, with my money, with my time, with the things that God has given me and helped me to develop a skill so I can share it. Generous living is about giving with an attitude of thankfulness. Matthew 10:8 says, give freely as you have received. We have received freely from a generous God. We should give it with that same attitude, with thankfulness, and with cheerfulness. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. I certainly hope you are not feeling like I am pressuring you some way. If you feel some nudge, trust that that's maybe God who's nudging you. I don't want this to be guilting, pressuring people. God wants us to give cheerfully with this attitude of, boy, I've received so much from God. I get to be a reflection of that for others. I can be a reflection of giving towards His work, and I can look for people in my life where I can live generously towards them, cheerfully. And give with anticipation. Because the very next verse in 2 Corinthians 9 says, God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. How cool is that, to have this gift of being able to share with others? Realizing that as I trust God, He's going to give me what I need, but He's also going to give me more than I need so that I can live generously with my treasure, with my time, with my talents. Imagine the impact for the kingdom of God if we live this together. If we are a community of generous living, we're going to grow in our faith as we get our attitudes lined up, our priorities correct, that we're trusting God, that God's number one, and we're not just hanging on to it ourselves. But God will provide, and so He is giving us a chance to provide. And we'll grow as we see that God has blessed us with all that we have, and really even our ability to earn our income is from God. Because it's all from Him, we can know that He's going to take care of us, and we can continue to move out because God will continue to be the provider. And He'll use our generosity to bring honor to Himself and open people up to the truth of the gospel in new ways. So let's commit to be, individually and together, a community of big faith, where we leave security and where we're in charge and say, God is with us, God's calling us, I'm going to trust God as He's calling us out to trust Him in a big way. We'd serve a big God. And that we're going to be a community of spiritual contributors, not just what do I get, but how do I give out of this generosity and the skills and everything that God has given me, so that I'm contributing out of that abundance. And that we be a community of generous living because we truly believe and have experienced that it is way more blessing, more blessed to give than to receive. And God will use us because we are putting our faith in Him and knowing that because He is such a generous God, He has given us that freedom and that ability and everything that we need so that we can generously share with others. God is going to use us as we put Him first and as we live for Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the promise that we have experienced, that You provide all we need as we trust You. Maybe not all we want all the time, but all we need. And when we rely on You with this attitude of abundance from an abundant God, You give us opportunities every day to live generously. God, help us to do that individually in our lives, but also help us to do that as a congregation. To be, boy, how cool would it be if we're known to be just a community of generous living? Think about the impact that You want to do in and through us. God, we don't know what's down the road, but we know that as we align ourselves with You, You've got great things in store for us and great things that You're going to use us for. So we commit ourselves to You today. In Jesus' name, amen.